special so much. You know, that's what we want to do here today is bless the name
of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you to open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. This morning we're going to begin a new series entitled Greater Service. And this year we've been talking about greater. Jesus said that we would see greater things. And I believe that God has already begun to do greater things this year than He did last year. I believe that God has begun to send revival to some people's hearts. And we've seen souls saved and we've seen decisions made. We've seen hearts broken for the things of God. And I'm just so excited to see what the Lord will do. But coming off of revival, and as you maybe get a little excited, maybe you've renewed a commitment to the Lord here and there and different things, what that all should translate to is that we would serve the Lord in a greater way than we were before. Now, we don't serve the Lord and work for Jesus so that we can be saved. We serve Him and work for Him because we have been saved. And because of what He's done for us, it should motivate us to do for Him, to live for Him, to serve Him with our lives, and for everything we do in our day-to-day lives to be for the honor and glory of God. To realize that when we go to work or we go to school or when we go about our daily business, we're not just living for ourselves, we're living for Him. Our purpose is to further His kingdom. And certainly, greatest of all, we're going to serve the Lord through His local New Testament church. When we live for Him, we work for Him, when we do in the church, we're doing it to serve Him because of His great love that He's shown to us. If you're able, let's stand together. We're going to read one verse to begin, 1 Samuel chapter 12, and look down at verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you. Amen. Father, I thank You for all the great things that You've done for me. For the great things that You've done for my family. For this church. For the great things You've done for all of humanity. Lord, You are so good. And Lord, we are so wicked. We are but dust, and yet You think about us, and You love us, and You sent Your Son to die for us. And if that had not been enough, You've given us every good thing, richly given us all good things to enjoy. Lord, You've been so good to us. You've redeemed us. And Lord, You've restored us to right relationships when we've fallen away and backslidden. Lord, You've just been so good. You're so great. Please open our eyes today to the truths of Your greatness. Please help me to preach exactly as You'd have me to. Lord, I pray this morning that every person in this room today would make a decision, make a commitment to serve You in a greater way starting today. I pray Your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts. If there's anyone here who is unsaved, I pray today would be the day they'd repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in Him alone for the gift of eternal life, forgiveness of sin. Lord, I pray for those that are saved that we would surrender to Your will, be committed to serve You in a greater way by Your grace and by Your power. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want you to see three simple truths today as we consider becoming greater servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, first of all, there's a simple command. He says, only fear the Lord. Only fear the Lord. I want you to look, now that you're seated and comfortable, look back and rewind to verse 16 very quickly and read with me. Verse 16 says, now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and He shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not, ye have not done all this wickedness, yet ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king." So here we come. You remember Samuel started out as a young boy serving God faithfully, and God began to speak to him, and Samuel was faithful. He wouldn't let one word of God fall. He was faithful to the Lord all the days of his life, but yet the people still turned, and they wanted to be like everybody else. They said, "Give us a king." And Samuel tried to plead with them, "You don't want a king. God is your king." And they demanded a king, and God told Samuel, "Give him a king." By the way, sometimes God will give you what you ask for. I don't want to get too political, but I think God's given America exactly what we've asked for the last 8 years. I don't know about you. I'm praying for our leader to be what God wants us to have and not what the people want. That's a whole different sermon. But you ought to pray for our leaders. And we ought to pray for them whether we like them or not. In the midst of trying to line the people out and encourage them as this transition is happening, the end of Samuel's ministry is coming towards an end, and now they're going to go after this king. He's trying to commend the people. He's trying to, first of all, rebuke them, because asking a king is sin. God was their king. They didn't need another king, but they wanted to be like the rest. So this was sin, but God gave them exactly what they asked for. And Samuel said, even though you've sinned, you can still come out of this thing okay if you'll just fear God. Only fear the Lord. Yes, you've sinned, but God is going to forgive your sin. God's going to help you through this thing, but you're going to have to fear the Lord. You got yourself in this mess because you didn't fear the Lord. And if you're going to come out of this thing okay, you better fear the Lord. Now, I don't know about you. I can identify with the people of Israel, because there's a lot of times I come before God and he convicts me about a sin, and I'm like, "Oh no, I've done this plus all the other things I've done." Did you hear it? We've added to all our wickedness. And that's the way I feel so many times before God. I've added unto all the evil that I've done. And yet God says, if you'll confess your faults, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we can be made right with him. Our relationship, our fellowship with him can be made right. But we just need to fear the Lord. You know, some people are afraid of church. David McCullough has a book called Mornings on Horseback, and he tells a story about a young Teddy Roosevelt. And Teddy Roosevelt, when he was a young boy, was terrified to go to church. His mother would try to take him to church, and he was absolutely petrified. I mean, I'm talking about screaming and crying and just horrified to go to church, and she couldn't understand why. And he told her, he said, "I'm afraid of zeal." And he had in his mind that zeal was some kind of terrible creature lurking in the corners of the church and that would eat him up when he went to church. And his mom couldn't figure out what in the world he was talking about. He was terrified of zeal. And so she got her Bible out and started going through the verses that talked about zeal until she finally came to this verse. "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." And he stopped her and said, "That's it. There's zeal down there at God's house, and it's going to eat me." He was terrified to go to church. But, you know, I think about that, and I think it's really not such a bad idea. You know, Jesus said, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." What happened? People had made a mockery of God's house. And what did Jesus, how did he respond? He responded with anger. He responded with judgment and swift justice to make a court and drive those people out. And I think about the fact that if I do my job right, the people who hear the preaching of God's word will have a healthy fear of God in his house. Job 28:28 says, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." The fear of the Lord is wisdom. That's where wisdom begins, is when we fear the Lord. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1 says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged." Now I want you to get it. When Samuel's trying to tell people to fear the Lord, he says, "I want to show you the power of God today. Isn't it wheat harvest today?" And he prays to God and he says, "God, send thunder and rain so these people will know that you have power." And so God sends thunder and rain. You see, God has power over everything in our lives. We forget that sometimes. So Samuel wanted to remind them. And when they heard Samuel pray and they saw God respond to that prayer, they were terrified. And what did they say? They said, "Pray to the Lord thy God that we die not." They were scared of dying because of the power of God, and they knew they had sin in their life. But in verse 20, Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not." Now hold on just a second. I thought our point here was that we would fear the Lord our God. Listen, as a child of God, you don't need to fear death. But we need to fear God. All my life, I've had people tell me, and certainly it's part of it. This is true. This idea of fearing the Lord has an idea of being in awe of God and having reverence and respect for God. Amen? But I want you to know something, friend. This word fear also means to be terrified. Our God is great and terrible, the Bible says. He is awesome in power and might, and he created everything, and he can take it away just like that. Now, I don't know if it's a good comparison or not, but I'm going to tell you, to this day, I'm afraid of my mom. Because my mom told me at a very early age, "I brought you into this world," and some of your parents said the same thing. Now, see, you might not have believed your mama, but I believe my mama. Amen? You see, I love my mom. I respect my mom. I love my dad, and I respect my dad. But I'm going to tell you, I was afraid of him growing up, too. I've had my children tell me before that they're afraid of me, and I say, good. You should be. You said, that's terrible, that's mean. That's probably not politically correct in the world today. But I want to tell you something, friends. I want my children to learn to fear and respect me. Why? Because I want them to learn to fear and respect God. Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." People are afraid of a lot of things, but if we are wise, we'll learn to fear the Lord. It's a simple command. Only fear the Lord. Samuel says, let's keep this simple, people. The law is big and there's a lot of stuff there, but if you'll just learn to fear the Lord, you're going to be where you need to be. Only fear the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12:13, you guys remember this? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. You remember Solomon, the wisest man to ever live. God gave him wisdom, said there's nobody had wisdom like him before. Nobody will have wisdom like him after. And he did everything. I mean, he's been everywhere, man. He did it all. He tried everything. And he did a lot of stuff wrong. But he shared that wisdom with us, and he said, basically, everything in the world, all the money, all the power, all the influence, all of the pleasures, everything you can imagine, you can try it all, and it's pointless without God. Amen. Let me just tell you the conclusion of the whole matter. Let me save you a lot of trouble and a lot of heartache. He says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's it. It's so simple. Why is it so hard? Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. He says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And you may not think that anybody else is watching. You may not think that anybody else knows about your sin. And I may think I've gotten away with some things, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. God sees everything. And we're going to give an account. Now, we understand today there's two different judgments. There's the great white throne judgment where all those without Christ, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're going to be judged by the Word of God. But you know, every saved person is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account to the Lord. Amen. Not to decide whether we get to go to heaven or not, but to decide how much rewards we get in heaven to bring honor and glory to Christ. Amen? Amen. We get the foundation, Jesus Christ. There's no other foundation. That foundation cannot be taken away. Once you're in Christ, you're in him forever. Amen. But everything you do from the moment you're saved on, God keeps an account of. I read about the king of Hungary many years ago, and he was a believer. But he had committed some sin, and he had a great terror in his heart of the judgment of God. And he called his younger brother, the prince of Hungary, in, and he said, brother, I have sinned a great sin against God, and I tremble before the Lord. I fear to meet God. But the younger man, the prince, just laughed at his brother. And he went on his way. Well, in Hungary at that time, when the king commanded that someone be executed, a trumpeter, the executioner, would take a trumpet and go outside a man's door and blow the trumpet in such a way, and he would know that he was about to be executed. So the king sent the executioner to the prince's house. The executioner stood outside the door and blew the trumpet. The young prince was woken in his sleep and knew exactly what was happening. He threw some clothes on and opened the door, and the executioner grabbed him and drug him before the king and threw him down. And trembling, he cried out to his brother. He said, what have I done to offend you? Why must I die? And the king said, you tremble before a man at the face of execution. Why should I not tremble to meet God? Now listen, if you're saved, you have eternal life, and it doesn't depend on how you live. But friends, we should still fear God. You see, there's so much more. So many people pray a prayer, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, and then they just go on with their lives and give Christ no other thought. I can't comprehend that. Amen. When you get, sure enough, saved, when you're born again, Jesus Christ is your King. Amen. And we should want to serve our King. A simple command, only fear the Lord. Notice, secondly, a sincere calling. He says, and serve him, back in verse 24, and serve him in truth with all your heart. Back in verse 20, he says, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. It's a sincere calling. And I want you to understand, when we're talking about serving God, it's not just an occupation, it's a calling. It's not just a job. It's who we are. I'm a child of the King. I'm a servant of God. You know, we get it. When you meet somebody new, you find out their name, you find out what they do. I mean, that's how we identify ourselves by our occupation, right? Amen. Joe the plumber. Bob the electrician. I mean, that's right, isn't that? I work at the bank. I'm in construction. I'm a teacher. We identify by what we do. I'm a servant of God. Amen. And it's not just an occupation. It's a calling. And it's not just a calling for a pastor or a missionary. It's a calling for every one of us. Joshua 24:14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now you guys know that verse. You probably got, some of you got it hanging on the wall at your house, and I hope it's true. But there needs to come a moment in your life when you decide that from all your heart, we're going to serve God. I'm going to serve the Lord. And you may not realize it, but you're faced with the choice every day. Amen. You say, well, we don't have all these false gods of the Amorites and all that stuff. Oh, we got plenty of false gods today. Amen. We got plenty of idols. We got the love of money and the love of stuff and the love of self and our gods in our belly and all the different things. We got all kinds of gods today. And we have to make a decision who we're going to serve. And as a dad, I have to make a decision who's going to be served in our house. Are we going to worship at the altar of Hollywood? Or the internet? Or are we going to worship God? Serve him in truth with all your heart. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." He's talking about bond slaves. He's saying, listen, you need to serve your master, not with eye service. Don't try to look good. And you guys ever work with people like that? I mean, guys that just slack all day, but when they hear the boss coming, get busy. You ever work with guys like that? You ever been that guy? Let's be honest. He says, don't do that. Why? "In singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." You know what this verse means? That we serve God in everything we do. Listen. You got moms that stay home with their kids. When you are dealing with those kids and deal with all that stuff, you know what? You're not just taking care of your kids and your family. You're serving God. And all of you, men and women that get up and you go to work and do what you do, you're not there just to turn a dollar. You're not there just to make a way for your family. You're there to serve the Lord. Isn't that awesome? And if we would get this in our mind, it would change our lives. I'm telling you. See, I worked in construction for a while now, and sometimes when you're only doing it to make money, or when you're only doing it to keep the customer happy, that's enough to drive a man crazy. Amen. Customers. I'm going to tell you what, being in business for yourself would be awesome if it wasn't for the customers. Amen. Amen. But the reality is, when you do that work, you're not doing it for the customer. We serve the Lord. Amen. We serve him. And whether it's taking care of our family or doing a job or going to school or whatever we do, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Serve him in truth with all your heart. 1 John 3:18, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." I want you to know, friends, that when you serve other people, you're serving the Lord. Matthew 25:40, Jesus gives the parable, and he says at the end of the parable, "The king shall say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." You visit somebody in jail, you give somebody some clothes, you give somebody some food, you help a family in need out. What are you doing? You're serving the Lord. You see, there's a lot of people out there in the world today think that they're doing good. And I've seen those campaigns at Christmas time that say, do good for goodness sake. And they're trying to keep God and Jesus out of everything that's going on. I'm going to tell you something. If you do it and it's not for the Lord, it's wasting your time. When we serve people, we do it for the Lord, for His honor and His glory. You probably heard the story of the cobbler before. He had a dream one night, and he had this dream. It was so vivid. He dreamed that Jesus was coming to visit him, and the dream was so real, so vivid, that he got up early the next morning. He hurried to the woods. He got green boughs, and he decorated his shop for the arrival of Jesus to come. He waited all morning, but Jesus never came. But later in the morning, there was an old man who limped up to the door, and he asked if he could come in to get warmed up by his fire for a little while. And the old man limped in and sat down by the fire. And the cobbler fixed him some food. And he noticed that his shoes were worn through. And so the cobbler gave him a pair of shoes. And the man was warmed and filled. And he'd take care of him. And he went on his way. And so the man continued to wait for the Lord to come. A little while later, there was an elderly woman who came. And he invited her in. And she was hungry. So he fed her and gave her a meal. And helped her to warm up, and she sent on her way, and he sat back down and waited for the Lord to come. Then as it began to get night, he heard a little child outside crying. He went out and found the child, and he brought the child inside and got him warm and got him fed, and then he took the child by the hand and took him home. As he got back home, he was very sad, because he was afraid that he had missed the Lord while he was away. And as he sat and contemplated it, he cried out, "Lord, why is it, Lord, that your feet delay? Have you forgotten that this was the day?" Then soft in the silence a voice he heard, lift up your heart, for I kept my word. 3 times I came to your friendly door. 3 times my shadow was on your floor. I was the man with the bruised feet. I was the woman you gave food to. I was the child on the street. You see, when we help others, we're serving the Lord. Serve Him. When we pray, we read, we study, we worship, we witness, we teach classes, we clean the building, we drive the van, we help those in need, we give our offerings and our tithes. When we do it all, what we're doing, friend, is we're serving the Lord. When you see somebody that needs help on the side of the road and you stop and help them, you're serving the Lord. When you see a little woman laying halfway in the road and halfway in her yard with her walker there, and you jump out of the truck and you run to help her, though she needs no help at all. It's not that you've got a hero complex. It's you want to help people. And you want to help them in the name of the Lord. I want to tell you, when I've stopped to help people on the side of the road or done anything to help anybody, I want to tell you it opens up a door to share the gospel. I'm not giving a blanket endorsement for this, so I don't want any of you moms getting on to me later. But when I pick up, sometimes I'll pick up guys on the side of the road, hitchhikers, and give them a ride. And they're all very, very grateful. Yeah, I know. I'll hear about it later. But I want to tell you this. When you got a guy in your truck going 75 miles an hour down the interstate, he is a captive audience. Amen. He's going to listen to everything I've got to say about Jesus, or he's going to have to jump. So far, nobody's jumped. I mean, there's people that need help all the time, and I understand. We live in a society where people have this entitlement, and they think they deserve everything, and people don't want to work, and yada, yada, yada. And I think you ought to be Spirit-led, but when God gives you an opportunity to help someone, you're serving the Lord. We serve Him in the church. We serve Him in our day-to-day lives, and we serve Him in truth. We serve Him with all our heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Simple command, a sincere calling. And would you notice, lastly, serious consideration. He says, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you. The Apostle Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And I was dead in my trespasses and sins, and yet Jesus, in his great love wherewith he loved me, he gave himself for me so that I could have everlasting life. He saved me. He gave me eternal life and forgiveness of sin. And when I consider how great things he's done for me, it motivates me, it constrains me, it says, I want to serve him. I feel so sorry for my friends that are wrong in believing they can lose their salvation. I've got some friends that are killing themselves trying to live for Jesus because they're scared to death. If they don't, they'll lose their salvation and end up in hell. What a sad motivation. I don't want to live for him because I might lose myself. I want to live for him because I can't lose my salvation. Because I have life and forgiveness of sins, and he's given me more than I could ever deserve, and he loves me unconditionally, I want to live for him. I want to serve him. Consider how great things he has done for you. He just reminded them, if you look in our text, 1 Samuel 12 and verse 6, Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Zerubbabel and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelled safe. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said unto me, nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen and whom ye have desired. And behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. You see the redemption. Listen, Israel was down in Egypt. It's a picture of the world. But God, when they cried out, delivered them out of that. It's a picture of our salvation. How did they come up out of Egypt? The Passover. The lamb was slain, and the blood was applied, and they were saved alive. Amen? And God delivered them up out of Egypt with a great deliverance. And he redeemed his people, Israel. Amen. Friend, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you've been redeemed. Amen. You've been bought back. You have victory over death and hell and the grave. You have life everlasting, forgiveness of sins. You've been redeemed. But just like Israel, many times we turn back. We go against the Lord. We go away from him. We forsake the Lord, just like they did. They had been saved from Egypt, and they forsook the Lord, and God allowed judgment to come. You know what happens when we forsake the Lord? Chastisement comes. But if we'll repent, we'll turn back to God and cry out to him, he'll restore us to a right fellowship with him. I just want to tell you, God is so gracious and merciful to us. He should have been done with me a long time ago. But consider how great things he's done for you. Consider how he went to the cross and bore your sin. Consider how he rose again the third day. Consider how he sits at the right hand of the Father, even today, making intercession for you. Consider how he sent his Holy Spirit to empower his church. Consider how he indwells every believer. Consider how every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Consider how all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. consider the great things that God's done for you. And let it be a motivation to serve the Lord in truth with all your heart. See, Israel got off track when they started looking at what the world had going on. Look at the gods of the Amorites. Look at the gods of the Moabites. Look at the gods of the Philistines. Look at how everything's going for them. And they turned from God and they served idols. You know what happens to us when we take our eyes off Jesus, when we could stop considering Him? We'll end up in exactly the same place. My Bible says, consider Him, which endured such a contradiction of sinners against Himself. Would you consider Christ today? Would you consider the great things that He's done for you and that He continues to do? We're going to get ready for an invitation this morning. As they're getting ready, I want you to just to make a serious contemplation this morning, a serious consideration that you would think about what God's done in your life. And then I want you to think about how you're serving Him today. How you're serving Him in the church. Are you just filling up your space? Or are you working for the Lord in the church? I want you to consider your service for Him in your day-to-day life. Are you just trying to get ahead and make money and do your thing? Or is Jesus in your mind all day, every day? Are you realizing that everything we do is unto the Lord? How is your service for God today? As we get ready to sing, what number?
Page 524.
Would you stand with me? And if the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart today that you need to serve Jesus in a greater way, would you make that commitment this morning? Bow your head right where you're at or come down to this altar and say, Lord, I want to give my life to You anew. You say, well, I've rededicated my life before. Good, you ought to do that every day. Maybe you need to make a new commitment to the Lord. Renew that commitment today. Make a decision for Christ today. Whatever it is, if He's calling you, would you come right now?